Hey, welcome back to the First Samuel Audio Devotional Podcast. You've got it locked on an episode of
Even Steven.
And even is kind of unique today because we're not even. We're odd.
We're odd again.
Because we have a guest today.
Yes, we do.
And her name is?
Vicky Brogy.
Vicky Brogy. She's a watermarker. And Vicky, why don't you fill us in just super quick about who you are, where you're from, how do you end up connecting to watermarker, when?
I've been a member of Watermark or attended here since 2016. Started out at the Trill, as you call it, the Trillium, when we had the Trillium site on Van Wagner Road.
Because you live north of the bridge.
I'm a north of the bridger. I'm a Norton Shoresian, but not on Mona Lake. Everyone thinks we all live on the water, and we don't.
You know, what's it like to be so wealthy?
They're just, no, we don't live on Mona Lake.
Yes. And also, how did you make it down across the bridge safely? I mean, don't get scared coming down this way. Oh. People here, in Grand Haven, get scared going all the way up there.
I know. A lot of them don't like to cross that bridge. Yeah. It's such a big deal.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, I guess.
We will.
Very nice, you're welcome. Steve.
You got connected through the Trill. What else can you tell us about yourself?
Moved down here. Me personally, I love to do rock concerts, movies, outdoors kinds of things. I enjoy a lot of different things.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Spending time with friends, volunteering. Yep. In my early retirement, I call myself a junior senior citizen because I won't admit to being old yet.
That's great.
I like to do volunteerism, and I've learned in the volunteer world, they're called the one and done things. You show up, you do the work, and you leave. You're not on a board. You don't have meetings.
That's good.
You just have
one. Let's not commit to too much, basically.
And I've spent a lifetime sitting in meetings a lot, both with work, and then I also was on both school board and city council in Norton Shores. So,
wow, that's fun. You probably have some good stories out of that.
Oh, yeah.
we won't get into that. Yeah, exactly. You have a really unique ringtone that I didn't expect from you. And I apologize that I didn't think this would come from you, but what is your ringtone?
My ringtone is the beginning guitar riff to AC/DC, that wonderful hit, Highway to Hell. And my biggest fear is leaving my phone on in church, which that would be not be a good thing to have done. Or I also...
Drums.
There you go, Vicky. You're getting a phone call.
Yeah.
Is that just Steve Durr's ringtone, or is that everybody's?
So your biggest fear is that's going off on a Sunday morning. So if you ever hear Highway to Hell, the opening riff, on a Sunday morning, just look over and you'll find out what Vicky looks like.
Yes.
You'll
know it's always great to turn and stare. But in this instance,
can you point to?
You turn and then you just start head thrashing.
Yeah.
Just go.
Go up and down. Yeah. Right. Awesome. So let's kind of go over real quick, just be reminded of this past week in the First Samuel audio devotion. So let's think through some of the themes real quick here.
So, well, we had on Monday, you interviewed your college guys that you meet with regularly, and you kind of did a little discovery Bible study.
That was fun. I mean, was there anything from that, Vicky, that was it interesting listening to some college students and hearing their perspective on that?
It just sounded interesting. I think two or three of them are seniors and they're just ready to launch into life, which is a exciting time for them. I think, some of us are at the middle-aged or
junior
senior. We aren't at that stage. And it was just exciting to hear them talk. I think their perspective on things is much different when you're so young and fresh and not knowing what the future is going to bring or where you're going to land. And it was good to hear them.
Yeah. Yeah. I love hearing the different perspectives. And those guys are amazing guys. Yeah. We get together on Sunday nights by Zoom. So it's always I get really impacted through that time. Yeah. So that's good.
And then the next day, Tuesday, I got to interview my friend Josh, and he can always bring it. I had to do very little editing because he actually talks that fast. So
he talked about fear in depth and revealing fear and conquering fear, which was a good discussion.
Yep. Yeah, he's an incredible guy. So we're thankful for him and the work he does at Love in Action for sure.
Yep. And then day three, Chris McGraw brought it with
Chris.
Him sharing his story and resonating with the relationship that Jonathan and David had, that just brings it right home. And real life, what does this look like? And for him to process through forgiveness, that was really inspiring. And for him to pull out that nugget that none of us actually knew was that Jonathan is probably older than David. Yeah. And so their relationship was not like quite peers. It's more, you know, 15 to 30 years, evidently, you looked up older. So that relationship had it. It nuances it from our perspective where you don't.
It does.
Think of
and the depth of
time.
Their relationship together. It's probably one of the greatest friendships in the Bible, I would think. I yeah. dare to say that. But, you know, just the depth of their friendship and their love for each other and how Jonathan, in spite of his father, they're still friends and he's still protecting him and telling him to run and telling him to go. And in the end, they cry together and cry real tears as friends, not knowing what will happen. And David, it says, the Bible says David cried harder, which yeah. I'm not sure why it mentions that, except
right.
David was really going to experience some hardships. And he probably knew that leaving his whole life behind
yeah.
and heading out. So
I think we need to come right back to that here in a second, because that's such a good point to bring come to. But I wanted to get to day four and Steve Durr. Like, one of my favorite lines from that talk was, it's not actually faith over fear. We discover faith through fear. And that was really helpful insight. We nearly always have fear. It doesn't mean that there's an absence of faith. It means we have an opportunity to learn faith. So that right. was just a really helpful thought.
And fear is one of the biggest emotions mentioned in the Bible.
Right.
I think
yeah.
one of you talked
Josh
about
did.
Josh,
Josh that
talked
yeah.
about that, how many times it's mentioned in the Bible. It's significant, you
yeah.
know, so
it's something to pay attention to.
It is.
And how can it lead us to God? That's good. So, Vicki, I love that you brought up the relationship thing that Chris was talking about and the friendship between Jonathan and David. Have you ever had like a friend or friends that were that kind of close, that meaningful, life-giving friendship?
It made me think about friendships in my own life when I listened to that podcast. How far back do my friendships go? And I thought of one that goes back to grade school, when we were in the same grade school together, starting in fourth grade. Oh. And that individual is a pastor. She's a pastor. Her husband's a pastor as well. Just very dear friends. And we've stayed in touch, sometimes more than others during the years, and just are good friends with each other.
So you guys live not in the same area, I presume? So
she lives down in, they live down in Holland.
Okay, so not too far.
Which is not too far.
It is on the other side of the bridge, though.
Yes, it is on the other side of the bridge. And they've been elsewhere. They've been his pastoralship. As an assignment has taken him to New York and to different places. But now he's at an assignment here in Michigan. And then I have a friend that I worked with initially when I was 18 or 19 years old, and she lives here in Muskegon. They've also moved around to four or five different states. I haven't thought about that part. It's hard to keep them going when you're not living in the same place.
Right.
And they're back in Muskegon now, and we're good friends too.
Yeah. What has been some of the things that have made good friends be good friends for you, or even the being able to stick together even with the distance? I mean, what have been some things that you've learned?
I think being there through all of life's changes and all the good and bad that happen to each one of you, no matter what, you can lean on each other and count on each other. You're there for each other. That's such an important part of things. And I went through a cancer journey in 2001, and I really... It's sad that kind of a situation brings out the very worst and the very best in everyone, I guess. During that time, I experienced a lot of good people that, you know, surrounded me, prayed for me, took care of me. But others were afraid. Mm. And it's a hard, difficult thing to see that happen. And it affected the relationships long term.
I'm sure here you're going through crisis, and you would kind of expect that friends are going to kind of maybe lean in and help. But you had some friends actually back away.
Yes, and that was difficult.
That's so hurtful.
And I know we've all had people drift in and out of our lives, too, that you thought were friends,
yeah.
and then they kind of vaporize or go some sure. other direction or go through something. But I think being there for each other all the time, you know, no matter what. And that's what I saw with Jonathan and David in the Bible. You know, no matter what Saul thought about David, Jonathan chose David as his friend. Mm. He was going to be a friend no matter what, yeah. you know, and stick with him.
So it's an interesting thought I'm just having. Like, we tend to find out where our relationships are with people when we go through hard times.
That's
in
true.
In Scripture, and I'm sure not every relationship was determined by a covenant. you know, where they sit down and like, I'm going to call it like a determine the relationship conversation, which you usually think of like the romantic, you know, you want to figure out where you are with that, you know, girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, but like they determined the relationship ahead of time so that when they got to the hard time, they already had committed to how they were going to process through it. We get to a hard time and then we find out how committed people are. And it's just, I'm just throwing that out as kind of an observation I'm having.
What is it that made people scared in that setting? Like, was it just like, I don't know how to help, or I just don't like to be around? It's just a lot. It's going to ask a lot of me. Or what did you get any sense of that?
No, or fear for their own lives, or that this could be me instead of her. Oh. You know, somebody, a businessman said to me, you're one of the healthiest people I know. You don't smoke, you don't you know, eat or drink in excess and do all this. And how did this happen to you? And, you know, you can't explain it. Mm-hmm. And I think people some get fearful of it happening to them or affecting them and have a tough time with that. Truly. And with friendships, when you do go through, back to the whole dynamics of friendships, you do, if you are close friends, you do sense when the person's going through a rough time, even if they don't talk about it, I think. Sometimes you can just pick up on what's going on. And I've always, the words I've always not said to people is, if you need something, give me a call. Right. You know, just do something. I guess if I could convey a message to everyone out there, just go ahead and do something. Show up with a meal. Go rake the lawn. Just show up and do something physically or besides. I mean, we do all do want to pray and take care of someone's spirituality and take care of them in that way. But I think the important part is to just do something, no matter whatever it may be, in the background, in the foreground. Just think of something that you could do that would help.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's great insight.
Yeah, and that's a really good thing. I think I can sometimes find myself, like, you don't want to overwhelm someone, or you don't, you know, they're, and so you think to yourself, well, you know, hey, if you need something, let me know. And I mean that. I really mean that. Now, the hard thing is, someone can say that to you, but when you're in the situation, it's still hard to ask for help, right? I think.
Definitely.
For sure.
Definitely.
And it's so incredible and humbling to have someone show up with food or help with your lawn or whatever the situation is, like you said. So I love that idea. That's a good practical example of what to do.
Yeah.
How have you found community and friendship, you know, at maybe this stage of your life, whatever that is? Like, how important has that been for you? I feel like we all have these needs for friendship, belonging, not to feel alone. How do you approach that, or how do you go about that?
I've learned more recently, I went through foot surgery, which is a really odd thing. And I was on one of those little darn scooters for 5 weeks, you know, and it was like, oh man, this was like a little mini COVID, you know, you can't really go anywhere because you're on the scooter. You can only scoot to the bathroom, to the kitchen, to the, and people showed up, you know, and I'm used to being a giver. I'm not used to being on the receiving end of the friendship thing, but somebody said, hey, are you busy for lunch tomorrow? I'm going to bring lunch over. You know, neighbor down the street that I known from college, her husband recently died. She came over and actually did my wash. My laundry's downstairs, which I couldn't get to, which I was grateful for. And we'd visit for a couple hours each week, you know, during that time. It's just those odd little things that piece themselves together that made me realize I've got a whole series of friends here to surround me and that they would lean into me when I need it, not just me being used to being the one to give to others, which I'm used to doing. And I do, you know, when I can.
How did that feel to receive instead of to give?
It felt warm and comforting. It really did. The only relative I have left on this earth is my father. I don't have children. And my brother passed away. My mother's gone. And it's like, I'll be an orphan. You know, there's times where I've thought I'll be an orphan, but then I realize I won't be an orphan. I've got this friendship network around me that surrounds me that is established and good, and it's there for me. And that feels wonderful.
I love that. That's such a great, powerful, hopeful insight, because I think loneliness is a real thing for a lot of people who even are surrounded by a lot of people, but it is possible to have people, to be known and to be seen and to be to have kind of a mutual connection with people. That's awesome.
And I would think too that you've had to be intentional about that. I don't think those kind of networks just happen without us being intentional and cultivating that and being a friend in return. So I'm just assuming that that's what you have done. You've been a good friend across the years as well.
Well, awesome. So Vicki, any final thought or challenge for us today?
I think just leaning into and evaluating the friendship, the whole friendship aspect of things, both biblically, you know, think about Jonathan and David and their friendship and apply it as much as you can to your own life and your own friendships with people and those who are in need, you know, near and far, that are either casual friends or close friends, or just value your friendships and see them for what they are and what their needs are. So,
yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, Vicki, would you mind actually closing us out in prayer, whether it's has to do with that or not?
Sure.
Just make sure you turn your phone ringer off.
I am going to call her as soon as she says amen. That's what I'm going to do.
I silenced it before we started. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us to this passage, and thank you for leading us through the value of friendship and for surrounding us with your love and friendship and endurance, and help us to be together reading through these passages and reading them and understanding them and lean into them. And thank you for surrounding me with Steve's this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good day.